journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass dissent.
These are weapons of mass dissent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Wednesday, June 25th, 2008, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.
It just makes me stop and think. Silence is not an option.
A tribute to our friend, our compañero, Don White. We'll hear Don's own voice and the voices of those who loved him and miss him.
Sorry if my eyes drop when the fellow meadows out, but I can't help myself, why should I?
This is Uprising. Last Sunday, my friend Emma called me and said, look, there's this nasty rumor going around that Don White was found dead in his apartment. I was shocked, but didn't believe it for a second. I called Don's home and heard his answering machine message. I didn't leave a message. I called around to several friends who knew Don better than I and found that it was true. Our dear friend Don White, whom I had just seen 1 week earlier answering phones in KPFK's phone room, was apparently dead. The shock was too deep to bear alone. I woke my sleeping husband, who also knew Don. We hugged and cried together, unable to believe it. We had known Don White since our early days of activism in LA when we had just moved to the city and were looking for ways to get involved. There was Don, on the streets, in the meeting halls, behind the scenes, and out in front fundraising. He was everywhere. He was always smiling and yet involved in the serious work. He never complained about anyone or anything. He was a peacemaker, a warrior, a worker, and a leader. He was my compañero, he was my friend, and he was the friend of thousands of you out there. Each one of you who knew Don White has a story to tell about him. In my effort to process my grief, I poured myself into the work of putting together today's memorial program for Don White. Good morning and welcome to Uprising. While Don White was widely known by so many in the activist community, he kept his personal life very private. Very few people know the details of Don's family or even exactly where he lived. Don White was born in Anacortes, Washington. As a college student in the late 50s, he was active against the repression by the House Un-American Activities Committee, or HUAC. He moved to L.A. in 1963 and taught history at Irving Junior High School. Don was a charter and lifetime member of UTLA, the United Teachers of Los Angeles, and participated in every teachers' union strike from 1963 until his retirement in 1997. His trip to Guatemala in 1976 changed his life and started a relationship with the people of Central America that continued until the day he died. He joined the board of the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, or CISPAS, and remained a leader in CISPAS LA. He coordinated and addressed countless rallies, demonstrations, fundraisers, teach-ins, delegations, aid drives, congressional visits, civil disobedience actions demanding an end to U.S. intervention in El Salvador and Central America. In addition, Don was an organizer of scores of citywide coalitions addressing various other progressive causes, including peace in the Middle East and the treatment of immigrants. He often worked as a legal observer, working with the National Lawyers Guild, wearing his fluorescent green hat at demonstrations. Don White was also a founding member of the Southern California Fair Trade Network, where I met him and worked alongside him. He organized for the WTO protests in Seattle and similar actions around the U.S. Most recently, he was involved in organizing the historic immigrants' rights marches in L.A. Don also served on the boards of the Office of the Americas and Americans for Democratic Action. He was also the chair of the KPFK local station board when I was on the board with him and spent countless hours in meetings with him. He remained on KPFK's board as a member. Don apparently died of a massive heart attack at his apartment over the weekend as he was packing a bag to go to a wedding in his family. His death has left thousands grieving, not only here in Los Angeles, but at the CISPAS National Office in Washington, D.C., and indeed in El Salvador, where members of the various social movements knew and loved him as a dedicated supporter of their cause. Don traveled to El Salvador many times with CISPAS delegations on March 16, 2004. I interviewed him on Uprising while he was in San Salvador as an election observer.
We know the devastation that NAFTA brought to Mexico, the devastation and the escalating misery that NAFTA brought to Mexico, and we want to prevent that from happening in Central America. So our main goal, Sonali, is to make sure that the Bush administration does not bring CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, to the House floor, that they see that they cannot win. We want to deliver the first major defeat to the Bush administration. And here in Los Angeles, there's a coalition that has mobilized. It's meeting every Wednesday night. I'll make an announcement of that meeting if you wish. Our main demand is that we not superimpose the misery onto Central America and the Dominican Republic that NAFTA brought to Mexico.
Can you announce the meetings?
Yes, it's Wednesday night. This is Monday, so it's just 2 days away. It's at CARESAN, the Central American Resource Center, 2845 West 7th Street. If you're going east on Wilshire, you just make a left at Hoover up to 7th.
What time on Wednesday?
It's 7 o'clock Wednesday. And there are a lot of organizations involved now, not just CISPAS and CARESAN, but the Sierra Club is there, the Central American groups, the Salvadorians, the Guatemalans, and the Nicaraguans are all participating. This is a major development in Los Angeles to defeat CAFTA by ensuring that Congress people, many have said no. Of course, Hilda Solis and others have said we're voting against CAFTA. But this momentum is building across the nation. And here in Los Angeles, we've planned now meetings with congressional members of the U.S. House. We're having a teach-in and a forum in the congressional district of Grace Napolitano, who we want to come out against CAFTA very strongly. A lot of Congress people have said they're going to go against CAFTA, and we believe at the moment the Bush administration does not have the votes to pass it. We want to confirm that.
Well, Don White, thank you very much for joining us. Don White is with the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador. He's also the chair of KPFK's local station board.
Don White speaking to us on Uprising, actually about CAFTA, which he was also very much involved in. And this clip that we just played for you was from an interview I did with him February 7th, 2005. About the growing resistance locally and nationally against CAFTA, the Central America Free Trade Agreement. We'll now listen to the interview I did with him earlier from San Salvador, where he was as visiting as an election observer during the elections there.
Well, thank you, Sonali. It's wonderful to be with you. Greetings to all the KPFK listeners from San Salvador.
And
El Salvador.
Don is also, of course, the new chair of our local station board, but he has another role right now that he is playing in San Salvador. Tell us a little bit about the recent drama with the immigration authorities in El Salvador. Were you one of those who was detained?
Oh, thanks, Sonali. Our CISPAS delegation of 55 folks from all over the U.S., including one from Canada and one from the United Kingdom, they've come into a pre-election period which has enormous challenges, both for our delegation, for the FMLN, and especially for the people of El Salvador who will participate in this election. We did face a crisis at the airport. I was not detained, but later I'm going to put someone on the line, two people, in fact, who were detained. There were scores of detentions. The Immigration Service of El Salvador was attempting to prevent the observation by internationals of this hotly contested election. It's a very tense time. It's exciting here, Sonali, but it's very tense. The FMLN is facing escalating violence, an insidious political campaign by the ruling Arena Party, which is trying to contextualize this election, believe it or not, as the Arena Party, the free trade anti-terrorist party that's for motherhood and the family, versus the, quote, communist guerrillas of the 1980s and the Civil War. It's totally insidious. Shafiq Handal, the candidate of FMLN, is appearing in Arena ads in full military uniform in the mountains and so on. It's really a pretty insidious campaign that also emphasizes that if the FMLN wins this election, workers from El Salvador in the United States will be fired, deported, and the remittances that they send to their families here will end. A complete lie that we're trying to neutralize. I'll end by saying simply that the U.S. intervention is blatant and very comprehensive. Otto Reich, whose name is familiar to many of your listeners, has been in the country and has really tried to promote the idea that if the country elects the FMLN president, a presidency, relations with the United States will deteriorate and El Salvador will be punished. Undersecretary of State Noriega has been here saying he questions the FMLN's commitment to democratic processes when it is the most democratic party in the country. Former U.S. Ambassador Rose Likens has said the FMLN cannot be trusted, and she speaks, of course, as the former U.S. ambassador. And Florida Governor Jeb Bush has been in the country with the last name Bush as a surrogate for his brother, and he is saying if the people of El Salvador want progress and good relations with the U.S., they must repudiate the FMLN. The U.S. is actively campaigning here on behalf of the ruling right-wing Arena Party, which, of course, is an outrage to us. I would say the intervention here is part of the continuing intervention that tries to topple Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, an unelected president toppling a democratically elected president in Haiti. The intervention here is blatant and is part of a pattern, and the American people are going to have to wake up that the Americans cannot have their hand in every a part of the world destabilizing democratic processes.
Don White, thank you so much for giving us an update. We wish you the best of luck and certainly the people of El Salvador as they head towards election. Don White speaking to us on Uprising March 16th, 2004, an example of the amazing work that he did, his incredible dedication to the people of El Salvador. He was in El Salvador when he spoke to us and had traveled there many, many, many times, and his passion is so palpable in his voice. Many, many people remember Don and grieve for him. The loss is still so new, the pain so fresh. I spoke this week with a sampling of Don's friends and allies who knew him personally and are trying to deal with losing him so suddenly. This is by no means a complete set of voices. I have missed many who were very close to him because of time and other constraints. If you knew Don well and would like to see a few words on the air about him, call us now at 818-985-5735 and we'll fit you in at the end of the show. That's 818-985-KPFK. The voices we'll hear now represent all of us who miss Don White and loved him dearly.
My name is Shaw Grogan Brown, and I work with CISPIS, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, of which I'm sure many people know Don was, from the beginning, was a really key leader in CISPIS for over 28 years. The organization was founded in 1980, and you know, with Don, along with many other people, really have always been very clear about solidarity and what the concept of solidarity has meant. And I think a lot of people in CISPIS and outside of CISPIS learned from Don, you know, a really clear example of how to be intensely dedicated and committed to your work and, you know, work that can be really trying and exhausting and challenging, you know, when you're fighting to change a huge power structure. And Don, I think, always maintained this incredible infectious enthusiasm for social justice, for people's rights. He always, you know, had the great sense of humor and was able to really bring out a lot of bold conviction, and at the same time was extremely diplomatic. And, you know, you could sometimes, he would be challenging you on things and you wouldn't even realize that he was challenging you because he had such a way of being so caring and loving and approaching, you know, any situation that he was in. When I first met Don, I had just started as a fundraiser with CISPIS and had gone to L.A. to do some visits with people, and Don just became this beautiful introduction to me as someone who's also really good at doing cross-generational organizing. He was always advocating for youth leadership, both within CISPIS and I know also within other movements that he was part of. He was also just an amazing ally linking struggles for justice. Bringing immigration is very central to solidarity work that happens here in the U.S. And people in CISPIS also really talk about Don as, you know, of course, giving the best pitches ever. he did a number of trainings with CISPIS organizers, and, you know, he would talk about auctioning off the chandelier of the church that we were in, and, you know, of course, everyone forgave him for it just because he had such a you know, jovial nature about it. And, of course, he was always joking about that kind of thing. But I know he also was just really well-respected and loved within the Salvadoran communities that exist in the U.S. and also in El Salvador. He's very well-known. The movement in El Salvador got news of his death this weekend and, you know, spread the word far and wide. We've gotten so many calls here at the office. But people also are really calling Don the Shafiq Handal of CISPIS. And for anyone who knows recent Salvadoran history, Shafiq Handal was a really long-time, long-standing leader of the FMLN since the founding of the organization. He always saw El Salvador as he had always had a very special place in his heart. He made, you know, dozens of trips to El Salvador during and after the war. But everyone also really says that the best way to commemorate him is to continue our struggle, and that's really what he would want us to do. The best way we can remember him is to continue fighting for change and continue to you know, carry his enthusiastic and heartfelt message of solidarity wherever we go.
My name is Roberto Lovato, and I'm a writer with New America Media based in New York. I am also the former executive director of CARECEN, the Central American Resource Center, and I met Don when I was with the Central American Refugee Committee, CRECEN, and I had come to L.A., and actually one of the first people I got to know in Los Angeles was this bubbly, kitschy, very funny, jovial man named Don White, who just had a passion for El Salvador and revolutionary politics like I'd not seen outside of places like El Salvador. And so I heard about Don's passing and was quite saddened, like, I mean, I think many of us are. Don was also very close to my former partner at that time, who was Gladys Cibrian, who was a representative of the FMLN, and Don just adored and would, you know, come to the house and just talk with Gladys and organize events for her and to speak at. And he's just, I saw Don really come to life when he would go to El Salvador on a delegation and, you know, be in the mountains with, you know, the poor communities or with members of the FMLN. And he would seem most at home in that environment. He would just seem inspired and alive. And you're talking about somebody who didn't need to be inspired and alive, because he was a walking, talking, inspired and alive person all the time, 24/7, if you ever knew Don. You know, he's probably the person that has organized more marches in the history of the United States than anybody I'll ever meet. You got to remember, we had protests, vigils, marches, mobilizations for close to 11, 12 years around El Salvador and around Central America. And if you add to that all the different kinds of events that Don was also involved in solidarity with women and LGBT issues, education, immigration. I mean, when we did the marches against Proposition 187 in 1994, the historic marches, who do we go to be the head of logistics? Don White, unequaled fundraiser, because he was so funny. People would just let their dollars magically fly out of their pockets into a hat. And so, but beyond all the logistical and fundraising capabilities, one of the most important things, the most important thing about Don is that he had that quality of any real revolutionary, which was a real profound love of people combined with a consistent and powerful action. And so I'm going to miss him greatly. Many of us will.
My name is Dave Adelson, and I knew Don White through his involvement with Pacifica and KPFK. I met him about a dozen years ago at a national board meeting in, I believe it was 1996, where many of the activists around Los Angeles were disturbed about their marginalization at KPFK as part of a series of changes that were taking place. And I'll never forget that Lynn Geary, who was one of the key people, said that for her the big turning point in that struggle was Don White speaking out about it, because many of the activists around L.A. were either not aware of what was going on or were concerned about retaliation, exclusion from the air, or just didn't understand what was going on. And Don was willing to put himself on the line and put himself out there taking a stand on an issue when it wasn't a popular stand, and indeed when it could have caused him reduced access at the station. And I knew him for many years after that. He was willing to come to what were often very aggravating, drawn-out meetings, and he was just willing to put the time in to do work that he thought mattered based on his values. And his primary value, I think, was bringing people of disparate viewpoints together. He never seemed interested in getting what he wanted from a situation. He seemed to be driven by a desire to have group solutions formed that worked for everybody. He was inherently a peacemaker and just an honorable, sweethearted person who will be tremendously missed. I'm sure the services for him will be, you know, attended by every person interested in social justice in Los Angeles. Even if you differed with him, I think everybody always respected the time, effort, and good-heartedness he put into everything he did for peace and social justice. And he's going to be sorely missed. I miss him. I miss him already. And I just wish that, you know, I hope that the last years of his life were happy and productive, and he was glad that he spent time in the way that he did.
Hello, I'm Angel Alfaro. I'm from the FMLN. I met Dom back on 1994 here in Los Angeles. I was a refugee from El Salvador, and I went to this event from CISPES, from the Salvadorian Solidarity. And I met Dom for the first time. And since I was new in the town, so when I saw Dom White for the first time, it was a big impact for me, because I was looking at this man working so hard and with passion and commitment for the struggle of the Salvadorian people. For the Salvadorian people to get a better life, better justice, peace. And he was one of the soldiers for the movement here in L.A., working for the Salvadorian, and not just for the Salvadorians. He was working for the Central American people. And that was something that I was amazing for me. I never thought about I'm going to meet somebody from the United States working so hard for the liberation movement back to in my country. He went to El Salvador to experience what's going on over there, and he was very committed with the Salvadorian people. And for me and for the old Salvadorian, Don represents courage. Don represents a brother, a friend, a mentor. They represent the hope. They represent the justice. They represent what a man has to be. They represent the new man. They represent the Salvadorian people, and they represent everybody in the world. And with Salvadorian thoughts, in every Salvadorian, there is Don White. All Salvadorians are Don White. Thank you.
I'm Aris Anagnos, and of course I'm one of the thousands of friends of Don White who is shocked by his loss. Finale, this was a terrible loss. I've worked with Don for many decades in the peace movement in Central America, on demonstrations, on every good project in our community. And I remember that recently we went to see Congressman Schiff talking about the extensions of the School of the Assassins, the School of the Americas, which have now several branches in different countries under the name of ILEA, International Law Enforcement Agency, I believe. And there is a school of ILEA in El Salvador. And we talked to Congressman Schiff about the need to have the graduates of that school of assassins be identified, so when they engage in repression, they can be identified that they have come from that school, and show that these schools continue to perform the same terrible crimes that the School of the Americas performs by training people into effective repression, torture, and so on. And we had the great satisfaction that the House of Representatives passed an amendment requiring that the names of the graduates of these schools be publicized so that when they participate in an incident, they can be identified as being graduates of ILEA. So this is just an example of the kind of work that Dawn did, lobbying, participating, and organizing every good project. And I wanted to say that in the new building that the Peace Center Foundation, the Iris and Carolyn and Agnes Peace Center Foundation, is moving to, we are going to name our assembly room the Dawn White Memorial Hall in memory of Dawn. We all mourn him and think of him with love and respect.
This is Sally Marr with Arlington West Film, and we met Dawn in 1994 when we formed a group called the Crack the CIA Coalition, that where the CIA was bringing drugs into the inner cities, and we formed it with a group of activists. That's where we met him. And very soon after that, we got into the fight, you know, to free up Pacifica, which had been taken in a very different direction, and Dawn was with us on that. We've been with Dawn very closely for the last 14 years, and we helped form the Coalition for World Peace, all the different coalitions we've been in, and he was really like our family. No matter how depressed or disturbed or frustrated I could get, I could call Dawn, and he would always have something funny or positive to say, or going into one of his special voices, you know, Don Blanco here. And he worked extensively with us, trying to help us with the children, because he had been a school teacher, and he knew how critical it was for him to come in and help us get into the schools to talk about, you know, the recruiting that's happening in the inner cities.
This is Peter Dudar, and Don Blanco, as we used to call him, was truly probably one of the funniest elves I have ever met in my life. I truly considered him to be from the fairy kingdom. I just loved the fact that he could light up a room when there would be a whole bunch of tension, different problems, and people feeling frustrated about not having been able to stop, you know, the fourth war. Yeah, Gulf, Kosovo, Afghanistan, Iraq. Well, we all worked together, and Don was always right there, marching in the streets. And, well, he helped us in so many different ways, tried to raise money for our speakers program going into schools. And I just love the fact that he would start out by saying, okay, we're selling the chandelier. Who'll give me $500? And, you know, everybody would just bust up and go, oh, my God, he can say anything. He's so wonderfully irreverent. And I think that's one of my favorite things about Don, is that he could really lighten up just the darkest moments and bring joy to everyone around him.
I think, Sonali, too, when I was on the board, it was a turning point in Pacifica, and Don was on the board with us. There was so much tension all the time trying to pass bylaws. And Don was really there, sort of smoothing things out with all the animosity happening. He could be in any room, and he could break the ice with something very, very funny. And I never knew how he did it, because he could feel as passionately about anything on one side or another as we had been feeling. And he would come out with the funniest line in the world, and he would make it right. And I think that one of the things that will be missing in our peace movement, which sometimes seems so fragmented with different groups having, you know, these contentious situations, is that he would pull it together. He was a real glue that cemented the peace movement. And as it gets more and more dangerous in our country, he is going to be missed beyond anybody, because he is completely irreplaceable. There's nobody like Don.
Yo soy María Guardado. Soy una sobreviviente de torturas de los escuadrones de la muerte de El Salvador, entrenados aquí en la Escuela de las Américas.
I'm Maria Guardado. I'm a survivor of torture at the hands of the Salvadoran death squads, which were trained here at the School of the Americas. This is the reason I came to this country, to seek, ironically, political asylum. I'm a Salvadoran woman who came seeking asylum and was brought here through the sanctuary movement in 1983. At the beginning of 1984, I met Don White, a beautiful person concerned about the war in El Salvador, who belonged to CISPES, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, an organization that helped me a lot. I worked with him and his staff.
Me di cuenta que él era como el representante de la solidaridad.
I realized he was a kind of representative of solidarity, in solidarity not only with the people of El Salvador, but with all Central Americans. And later, as I got to know him as a person, I found him to be a man with a great heart, who was also fighting for all people in struggle for a better life and for a better world.
Por eso es que ahora los salvadoreños lo estamos sintiendo bárbaramente.
And that's why the Salvadoran community and all Central Americans were feeling his loss terribly, and all communities in struggle, because he was always, always against war, against military interventions, right? And we were even working on something for Venezuela.
Un golpe pero fuerte, yo entré en shock, así como muchísimos de nosotros. Estamos pero impresionados con la muerte.
For me personally, this is a great blow. I was in shock, like so many of us. We've been really affected by his death. Because as we were commenting recently, he seems so strong and lively. So, of course, it's a terrible loss for all of our movements here in Los Angeles. You know, we always used to think, Don White, Don White, we've got to reach out to Don White for whatever we were doing. And he never, ever said no. He was always with us.
Por eso decimos que ahora vamos a luchar con su bandera.
That's why we're saying now, let's fight under his banner. He's left us with a tremendous example of activism, huge, with which we can continue to struggle. I don't have much more to say except that we have to carry on his example, rally behind his cause of justice and peace for all communities of the world.
Well, I'm Gerard Angerman. I'm a documentary filmmaker, and I have been knowing Don for now about 10 years, and I must say, and I will probably say the same thing as everybody else, because that's exactly what Don was. He was an angel. He was one of the best human beings I've ever come across. This man was just pure light. He was pure goodness. He was always. The thing with him, he was always happy, even in the thick of it, even, you know, sometimes when there were some conflicts in the peace movement or some difficulties, some issues, he was always smiling, always laughing, always had a sense of humor. He was always comforting people. He was nothing but, you know, compassion, love for others, and really in difficult times, he was a force, a good force, you know, to reckon with. You could call him anytime at night. He would always be there for you. He could be busy up to the neck in his own things. He would always take time for you, for anybody who he could help with all his kindness. And really, really, I mean, losing him is at an amazing loss. I mean, we all here to, you know, we come and we go. But, you know, it's in the nature of things. But sometimes when a friend like this and a holy person like Don goes, you really feel an amazing sense of loss and vacuum. Well, stays behind him his inspiration. You know, we will always remember his kind smile, his personality. And I think everybody who knew him will grow a little bit, you know, out of having known him. So at least, you know, that's a good side, a good part of it. But, man, it's such a loss. It's a tragedy.
Hi, I'm Frank Doral, and a friend of Don White's. I work with Don in the peace movement. We've hosted events in recent years I just have to say, Sonali, Don is the most, in my opinion, I called him Senor Blanco. He was the most valuable player, the most valuable peace activist here in Los Angeles. Don worked with everybody. He worked with everybody. He worked with Blaze and Teresa at the Office of Americas, and he of course, with CISPUS, and I could go on, KPFK and ADA, and the list goes on and on of the people, everybody. He worked with Peter DeSalle and Cole Miller, NOAA victims, and he worked with everybody, but Don was a one-of-a-kind person. Everyone knows Don, knew Don. He did everything. You know, he was a great host and moderator. He raised money for people. Don was a friend to people. Don would go out and put an armband and do security at the marches. He went to meetings, sometimes 2 and 3 meetings a day. He did. I'm only touching the tip of the iceberg of what Don did, but overall, the most important thing Don did is the love that Don brought to everybody in the movement, individually, to the groups, to bring people together. He was a real peace activist. He brought peace to the movement, and it's so much what we need in the memory of Don White, Senor Blanco, to be peaceful with each other, even with our differences in the movement, because we're in the movement to stop, to end war, to end oppression, to have justice for people and have a better world for everybody, not just for Americans, but for people all over the world. And that's what Don did, and he did it in such a unique way. And he was so funny, Sonali, and he was so poignant and witty and special. And I'm so honored to have known him and work with Don. And since this has happened and since Don has died unexpectedly, the phone hasn't stopped ringing and the emails here, and everybody loved Don. I know, Sonali, you love Don, and I'm so glad you're doing this program on him. The legacy everyone can take from Don and carry with them is that we're doing the right thing, and we got to keep doing it, and do it with love in your heart, and be kind to our fellow activists, and be kind to other people that don't agree with us, too, because in the long run, we won't win people over if we are angry at people. Even though we all have reason to be angry, Don knew all the reasons we had to be angry. Don understood what U.S. foreign policy is. He understood about people being oppressed around the world. And, of course, he worked so closely with the people from Central America and El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua. But he also worked closely with the homeless here and people from Iraq. And, I mean, I could go on about it. But as sad as it is, the joy I'm feeling of my knowing Don and knowing how much people loved him and how much people will remember him and carry Don in their heart. He's a force that will always be with us.
Hi, I'm Maria Armudian, and I have worked with Don White for 10 years in a couple of boards. I worked with him on the Southern California Americans for Democratic Action and, of course, with KPFK. Where he was chair, I was vice chair. I think the thing that is most amazing about Don White was his combination of courage, his graciousness with others, his compassion and generosity. I think he really was one of the finest people I'd ever met. He was kind-hearted, giving to whomever needed him, groups, any oppressed people, any progressive cause. His entire life was truly 100% given away for the benefit of helping make the world a better place. I don't think there was one selfish motive ever. And he did it all with such deep love and sincerity. I think this was the most striking thing. There was never anything but positive sentiment and energy toward everybody. There was nobody that he ever had a negative thing to say about. It just wasn't even possible. It was like he loved so much. He was just so supportive of everyone, and everyone actually getting to be a contribution, however they could, and he saw the good in everybody. He was one of my first supporters with everything that I was up to, including whenever I started to play music again. So he was just always generous, always loving, understanding.
And you played music at his birthday bash?
I did. I played music at his birthday bash. And, you know, this is the thing about Don White. I mean, I said some of these things then, so I got to say these things in his presence. But, you know, he was so much of that, you know, be the change you want to be in the world. He lived it. But what he would want, I think, more than anything else, would be for us to be laughing, because he was such a humorist himself. He was just so funny. It's a strange thing to not have that anymore with Don. It's just impossible to think that he's not here. You know, I've lost a lot of friends, and there's a gigantic hole where, you know, Don White was, that I just don't see being filled by anybody.
This is Mimi Kennedy. I'm with Progressive Democrats of America, but Office of the Americas with Blaise and Teresa Bunpain, and especially CISPES, the Committee in Solidarity with People of El Salvador, is how I knew Don back in the 80s when I was an actress raising young children, juggling a lot of different things, but knowing the death and torture that were going on in El Salvador, I really wanted to just help heal that and bring peace to the world. And there was Don White at every demonstration and doing so many good things. And he had this wonderful voice and this wonderful spirit. And I got to know him in association with KPFK later. But since the 80s, for 20 years, Don was the bravest and most heartening and most encouraging to anyone new coming into the movement. He just met us with open arms and showed us what to do. And some of my fondest memories are for Office of the Americas. Don and I used to have to do the pitch, or he would do it with Jim Lafferty, and we would have to get money for this good work to go forward from people. And Don always made it so much fun. And I just know wherever he is, there's great, great joy. And there's sorrow here for those of us. We'll have to grieve and mourn to go our ways without him. But I think we can all hear his voice and hear his laugh and see his smile encouraging us to go on.
Those were just some of many, many, many people who are feeling the loss this week and who will continue to feel the loss of our dear friend, our compañero, Don White. You are listening to Uprising. This is a one-hour special memorial to our friend, Don, whom we lost this past weekend. We've got a number of you on the line right now ready to say your words about Don, folks that we weren't able to get to. Many, many people, of course, not represented in this hour, but we know you're grieving with us. So seven of the friends of Don on the line with us, if you can keep it as brief as possible so that we can get all seven in, we'd really appreciate it. First on the line with us is my good friend Emma Rosenthal with her partner Andy Griggs. Welcome, Emma.
Hi, Sonali.
You're on Hello? The air. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Sonali.
So
Well, mm-hmm. We were just undone when we heard the news. I was asleep, and Andy came in and woke me up with the announcement that there was a post on many of the lists that Don had passed, but it didn't give a lot of information, and I couldn't find any information online. The LA Times has not yet published an obituary, and I think we need to force their hand on that one. This man was an important part of Los Angeles over many decades, and that they have not published an obituary is really unacceptable. I have written to them and asked them to do this, and I hope others will too. But I was undone when I heard the news, and I just couldn't believe it. I wanted to believe it was a rumor. I called you and I said, tell me it's not true, and you hadn't heard this either. And I thought, and then, you know, I just thought this was just, you know, as the news came in that it was true. It does seem unbelievable. You know, it just seems so unbelievable. He just always was going to be there, which of course is how, you know, it speaks to how we take so much for granted, and we live our lives as if we're going to go on forever and everyone else is going to go on forever. I think the most important thing about Don was how universal he was in his approach to social justice and how unafraid he was to take a stand on even the most difficult issues. Some of his most recent work was impassioned work in support of Palestinian human rights and the boycott campaign, even though there's incredible pressure, especially within the unions, to not take a position on that. And then an interesting issues came up about disability access, and he decided that the second floor of the Peace Center just was not going to be used for meetings anymore since it wasn't accessible and that meetings would not be held there that were exclusive. And these are two issues that have been very important to me, and it really, we've just lost so much. We've lost a unifier. We've lost someone, the go-to person on so many things. It's been interesting watching these announcements, the posts people have made in mourning to him on the different lists, and the number of organizations he was not peripherally involved in, but centrally involved in. I mean, how does one even find the time to do the reading, to have the background to do that work? It's right. Just phenomenal. You know, Haiti, Venezuela, Central America, Palestine. It's incredible the number of places people could find him.
Thank you, Emma. And we have Andy Griggs as well with us from UTLA. Andy, your thoughts on Don White?
Thank you. Thank you, Sonata. Thank you for putting together this amazing program for an amazing man. Don was very involved in so many things. He was a founder of UTLA. He was one of the people who brought that organization together when there were many different unions back in 1970 and brought them together into United Teachers Los Angeles. And this United issue is one that he was always thought was important. He was involved with U.S. Labor Against the War, which, of course, I'm very involved with. And he got involved with when we brought the Iraqi labor leaders to Los Angeles two times. He dove right in. I don't remember him ever saying no, except when he had four meetings scheduled instead of three.
Right.
And he also was involved in CEIA, the coalition to end Israeli apartheid, most recently. And the amazing work he's done on all these issues is an inspiration to us all. And of course, we all joke about that. Whenever you did a fundraiser, you needed to have Don there to do the pitch.
Absolutely. And in fact, I remember when I was first starting the Afghan Women's Mission, I had asked Don to help, and he agreed. You know, he came to our small event, and he helped us fundraise. And, you know, on so many issues, he's played such a big role. Andy, thank you so much. We have many folks on the line right now. Let's go next to Gustavo Ramirez. Welcome to Uprising. Gustavo, your thoughts about Don White.
Hello. I'm humbled, and it's hard to put this into words. I think that's probably how we all feel, in a sense. And I know that I met him through so many different forms of peaceful activism, whether it was lesbian, gay, human rights, whether it was Iraqi children that have been hurt by U.S. fire or in any way and raising funds for them, whether it was Latino rights or immigrant rights, El Salvador, and on and on and on. And
how did you know Don?
And I met him through this activism, but he was the one single activist leader out of so many that we chose each other. You can say he was my mentor in just these past several months, very, very close. And he is the one person that I guess I chose as well to confide everything. When I was having a hard time, he was the one. He was my moral support, and I was calling him to get some moral support over something as an activist myself, but on a personal, emotional level, and in all levels, he was there for me. I've never told anyone, but beforehand, I mean, I used to be a teacher, and just 2 days ago, I'm a little choked up still, but I was a teacher, and the past several months have been really, really difficult financially, and I haven't been teaching. And when I would go to a protest, he would say, hey, I know, I wouldn't ask him, but he would just say, hey, I know that gas is expensive or transportation and food, and you're not working, so here's $50. And no one's ever done that. I used to do that and give someone maybe a dollar or two, and he just did that, and he's been doing that in the last 6 months.
Thank you.
With me.
Thank you so much, Gustavo. Really appreciate your call. Rosalva Ongar, thank you for joining us. You're on the air. Rosalva.
Yes, hello. I just have to put in my two words. He has been such an angel. I believe he will be always known as an angel to the social justice movement in Southern California, if not in the nation. It's impossible to think of any social justice effort that Don hasn't been connected with, but I wanted to specially mention the areas in which I have known him, and that is in his work with the Coalition Against the Militarization of the Schools. And very recently, he was the core organizing committee of the Tri-National Conference in Defense of Public Education. He understood immediately, because of his international understanding, that this was an important event. And he worked along with us all the way through and was honored by UTLA for his work. And I won't take any more time, but we will miss him sorely. He's just a wonderful human being.
Thank you so much, Rosalva. Let's go next to Michael Kaufman. Michael, welcome to Uprising. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Michael Kaufman, and I've known Don White for 20 years. And, of course, Rosalva is right. He was integral and central to so many different efforts in the peace movement, in the support movement, in the anti-racist movement, in the anti-sexist movement. Don once told me a story about working with people from El Salvador in CISPIS and realizing that some of the men coming from El Salvador had problems relating to women and respecting women. And Don was the one who led the battle to bring respect for women into the community that CISPIS was working in. Mm-hmm. And he said it was a difficult battle because people just were brought up a totally different way. The other thing I wanted to say, but it was a successful battle, Don told me. Don was a founding member of a group called the Committees of Correspondence for Democracy and Socialism, which is a group that has chapters in 10 or so cities around the country and a chapter here in L.A. And he was also on the National Coordinating Committee of this group. And the Committees of Correspondence, of course, is a coalition member of a broad range of coalitions.
Michael, we have to wrap just
thank
very
you very
quickly.
Much.
Thank
and
you so
I,
much.
He's irreplaceable. I'm so sad.
Well, we all are. Thank you so much. Kathleen Onan, unfortunately, we don't have time for any more except for Kathleen. Kathleen, very briefly, your thoughts about Don.
I met Don in 1972 or 3 on a picket line at County Hospital. he was taking a friend there, and I was going for medical reasons myself. We both had seen a poster saying, support the IRA. Meet outside the hospital at so-and-so time. We both thought that meant the Irish Republican Army, but and it seemed a strange place to have a demonstration. But it was the Interns and Residents Association who were working preparatory to a strike for an 80-hour work week. And we both became supporters of that movement. And we got to talking about unions and of course, his work in the teachers' union.
Kathleen, we unfortunately don't have much time. 10 seconds, very briefly, wrap up.
And I have worked with him on and off since then, and a wonderful experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. I'm so sorry to those of you who we couldn't accommodate. It's so hard to encapsulate Don White in just 1 hour. It would take many, many weeks of programming to wrap it all up. Last year when Don turned 70, in typical fashion, he did not want to make a big deal about it and only agreed to have a celebration if the party was also a fundraiser for CISPIS, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador. A great way to commemorate Don is to make a contribution to CISPIS in his name. That's the way he would have wanted it. Donations to CISPIS can be made through www.cispes.org, C-I-S-P-E-S.org, or by calling the CISPIS office at 202-521-2510. That's 202-521-2510. Friends of Don are meeting this week to plan a very large and public memorial event for him. Just stay tuned to KPFK to hear about details of this event. We will certainly announce and publicize it. Many people have posted comments to our website at uprisingradio.org in memory of Don. And if you weren't able to speak today, please consider posting a comment there. You can also post at cispus.org/donpresente. Please tune into World Focus with Blaise Bonpane, a very close friend and ally of Don White, this Sunday for another tribute to Don. That's this Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. for Sonali Subversive Thought for the Day, a quote by Bertolt Brecht that Don loved, shared by Roberto Lovato. There are men who struggle for a day and they are good. There are men who struggle for a year and they are better. There are men who struggle many years and they are better still. But there are those who struggle all their lives. These are the indispensable ones. That's for Don White. That's Sonali's Subversive Thought for the Day. You've been listening to Uprising. Gabriel San Roman is our assistant producer. Teddy Robinson is our engineer. Very special thanks to Jennifer Kaiser for help with the show today. You can hear an audio stream of this show through our website at kpfk.org. Our email is mail@uprisingradio.org. CDs of the show are available at pacificaradioarchives.org or by calling 1-800-735-0230. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kolhatkar. Thanks so much for listening.